Star Wars Day. Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Three people who, one doesn't like Star Wars at all. One, knowing Al, probably hasn't even seen or heard of Star Wars. And the other one, Scott, like, he's fine with Star Wars. He's cool with it, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I have seen it.
You have seen
it. Speaking of fine movies made in the 1970s, Adam.
Ooh, where are we going with this?
I finally got around to watching the DVD copy of The Godfather that you gave me when you pretended to be leaving.
And? What do you think?
I kind of feel the same way about it that I do about Star Wars.
Whoa, really?
I mean, for as long ago as it was made, it holds up really, really well. But I do think it's a little overhyped.
Interesting. I haven't seen it in a while, so maybe that is true. But I remember watching it as a freshman in college in 2002 and being like, whoa, that movie really is as good as the hype. But not Scott White.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. And we've got fantasy baseball to talk about because it was an awesome weekend. Mostly, I think, for hitters. Hitters were great over the weekend. A lot of home runs. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We're going to run through the most added list, most drop list, talk about players that Scott and Al added. Got some news, some call-ups. Corey Kluber struggled again. Cole Hamels struggled again. Julio Teheran was really good on Sunday, so we'll cover it all. Let's start with the big news. Carlos Rodon, 64% owned. Speculation that he could be in the White Sox rotation soon. Now, is he going to make a spot start soon, or is there speculation that he's going to stay in the rotation soon?
Not clear. Not clear, but it sounds like there's a very good chance he will be in the rotation this weekend. I think Sunday, in fact, is the date that the White Sox are targeting.
And he hasn't been great out of the bullpen. A lot of control issues, I guess we could say. So are you thinking that Rodon will be better as a starter? What do you guys think right now about him?
Well, I mean, if he's has a chance of entering the rotation, I think you have to take a chance on him. And there's always that possibility that a guy going from a role where he doesn't have any experience to one where he does is going to be better when he has the more familiar role. So, I don't know. I don't know that there's really any upside to predicting what he's going to do. Just pick him up and see what he does.
We can only be wrong.
Yeah.
Well, would you drop like a Chris Heston for him?
No.
No, I wouldn't either.
Okay, cool. Hey, Greg Holland's expected back Tuesday. They're off today. Anthony Rendon unlikely to be back this week. So if you drafted him in the second round of your podcast league and you were thinking he'd be out 2 weeks, then you feel like me, and you're pissed off that he's going to be out 5 weeks at least. But hopefully Rendon will be back soon. Toronto sent Daniel Norris to the minors. So what does that mean for the Blue Jays rotation?
Nothing exciting. It means Marco Estrada's a starter again. And hopefully he won't give up too many home runs.
He's actually pitched pretty well in relief.
And he did last year, too.
Okay, but no interest in him as a starter, really?
Nah, not really. I mean, look, he's had success as a starter, and he's had success as a starter pitching home games in a really tough park when he was with the Brewers, but last season's complete disaster has pretty much turned me off to him as a starter.
Me too, but I do want to note he is relief pitcher eligible.
Yeah.
So you can do all that damage in your relief slot.
Three shortstops are a little banged up going into week five. Gene Segura, Jose Iglesias, Zach Cozart. Iglesias, groin tightness day-to-day. Cozart, x-rays were negative on a bruised finger. And Segura, this one's probably the scariest. He was hit by a pitch on the helmet. He felt nauseous. He left the game. So you're going to have to keep an eye on all three of those. We got a later first pitch today. I think it's 7:05 Eastern. So you can check those three on the website, fantasynews.cbsports.com. And Matt Carpenter left Sunday's game with lightheadedness. Shouldn't be a big deal, but you also want to check in on him and plenty of others. I didn't think it was like a big newsy weekend in terms of injuries or anything. Am I missing anything huge that needs to be discussed?
Well, not. I mean, I know we're going to talk about some things coming up.
You mean the call-ups?
The call-ups. I think that was the biggest news.
The call-ups are big. Catcher people, if you need catchers, there are two options out there, although Blake Swihart has been scooped up, I'm sure, in plenty of leagues. Boston called him up. Ryan Hannigan needs finger surgery, so Swihart's up. And San Diego reportedly will call up catcher Austin Hedges. I don't usually jump on the rookie catchers. I feel like offensively it's very difficult for them to thrive in their first season.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Swihart and Hedges? How would you rank the two of them, and which type of leagues would you be looking to pick them up?
Well, I would definitely go Swihart over Hedges. But I agree with your general sentiment of catcher prospects. Like, it would have to be... Swihart is the best catcher in baseball, but part of that's because there's no other catcher prospect who's better right now. He's not like a Buster Posey level prospect, so I'm not counting on him making a big impact this early in his career. And catcher's one of those positions, unless it's a two catcher league, obviously a different story. He needs to be owned there, but in one catcher leagues, because that's not a position anybody ever uses in their utility spot. They're never going to have a backup catcher in their roster. Like, they're so replaceable. Again, unless you're talking about Buster Posey level. I just don't think there's a lot of value gained by picking up Swihart. I don't think he has really any chance of being in the top 12. And I don't think he has any trade value if he's not in the top 12. So that's my take on Swihart.
Catchers suck.
Yeah.
Well, they do this year.
I hate catchers. I mean, like Alex Avila, I think, drove in 3 or 4 yesterday, and I don't know why I have him on multiple teams.
Well, I think the fact that Scott and I didn't move Lucroy and Mesoraco down in our rankings, even after, you know, they'd been out of commission for several weeks,
yeah,
kind of tells the whole story there.
It does.
It's good to see Evan Gattis back, though.
He's back, and Vogt has been great.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell Martin, his batting average is low, but he's been very productive. But still, I mean, it's just, no.
Oh, you know what? You know who's actually pretty interesting? I'm going to look up how owned he is, but Caleb Joseph is having a nice year for Baltimore, and Matt Wieters doesn't have a timeline yet to come back.
I think he's over 60%. He was on the most added list for quite a while.
Yeah, he's 71 now.
Okay, so he keeps going up. Of the options that are out there, I don't feel like he's really better or worse long term than Swihart or Plawecki or Realmuto. I kind of lump them all together.
Okay.
Yeah. I do want to, because you brought up Alex Avila, Adam.
Yeah.
I think he was somebody I dropped for Swihart in a two catcher league to kind of examine the other angle of it. When is he worth picking up? For Alex Avila, sure. May have been Tyler Flowers instead, but.
What about for Hedges? Would you have dropped Avila for Hedges?
Now, this Hedges thing is interesting because Derek Norris has been good. Is Hedges even going to play that much?
It doesn't seem like it. I think he'll probably play more than, I think it was Nieves. And that shows you how marginal he was that I have to question whether it was Nieves that was the backup.
Yeah.
It is curious. And Norris, to me, does look like a regression candidate. So while Hedges looks like he doesn't have much of a chance to play right now, I could see a situation where maybe over time he gets maybe 40% of the playing time.
Hey, how about Billy Burns? Oakland called up their speedy outfielder, Billy Burns, and he's been batting leadoff lately. Anyone interested?
No, I mean, in the leagues where I would like him, the really deep ones, he's gone.
Well, so. he's available in our Memorial Roto League.
Yeah, that's not deep enough to go for somebody who probably has a pretty limited shelf life.
And Corey Seager, one of the top prospects, Dodgers shortstop Corey Seager, promoted to AAA. Jimmy Rollins has been terrible. What do you think long term? How long term are we talking here with Corey Seager?
Well, Al and I were actually talking about this Friday because I didn't think he had much of a chance of coming up and playing, you know, maybe a September call-up this year, but nothing more than that. And Al seemed a little more optimistic about his timetable. I just think between, all right, Uribe, then Alex Guerrero, then Hector Olivera, assuming he doesn't need Tommy John surgery, those are all in the third base mix already. Doesn't seem like they're counting on Seager to play shortstop at the major league level, so... I'm just not sure they'll be that motivated to make a space for him if they don't need to, you know, if a need doesn't arise.
And they got Justin Turner, too, who Don Mattingly
oh, yeah.
seems to like.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, Alex Guerrero, you had a bit of an audition this week, and you didn't do much with it.
No.
Testing my patience, Alex Guerrero. Okay, so we're done with the call-ups. Let's talk about players to add. I just want to start with two names, and then I'm going to let you guys have the floor here. But there were two starting pitchers that, let's just get ahead of the game, maybe. Maybe these are guys we're talking about more if they have another good start. And I don't even know what the deal was with Carlos Frias in the Dodgers rotation. But obviously with McCarthy down, they need someone, and Ryu out. So Alex Colome and Carlos Frias. Good stuff for Frias. I didn't know much about him until I watched him pitch, but I'm just wondering if these are guys who are barely owned now that maybe we're going to be talking about a lot more if they have another good start.
I mean, I like Frias better, actually, and it seems like he's been generating a little less hype than Colome with the insertion of the rotation. He's got much better control than Colome has had, and I don't know that either one's really going to be the guy that you pick up if you need strikeouts. But, I picked up Frias in several leagues, and I really didn't make a move for Colome at all.
Interesting. Why not Colome? There is buzz on him.
Because he was really good, in his rehab stint. I mean, I don't know. I don't find his minor league record that impressive. He was pretty good, late last season, but the peripherals, not very many strikeouts. And again, the control issues for Colome.
Well, I mean, Colome's minor league track record had to be better than Frias's.
He's obviously been the more hyped prospect, but
Frias had 1.4 whips, 11 hits per nine in the minors.
Yeah. I don't know. I like a guy, obviously it would, in a perfect world, we all would like, somebody who could get a lot of strikeouts. But barring that, I really like the idea of having somebody who throws a lot of strikes, isn't going to have control issues, and can get ground balls. And that's what Frias has been.
I do think I like Colome a little more. Particularly if we're talking in a mixed league sense. I don't know that Frias has the upside to be that. Unless you factor in the relief pitcher eligibility, that's important, obviously, in head-to-head points leagues, but otherwise, I like, just in a vacuum, as talents, I like Colome more.
Well, I have to read this email. It's from Matt in Columbus, Ohio. From now on, Alex Colome cannot be mentioned in the podcast without singing his name to Call on Me by Steve Winwood. It's just not possible. Buy or sell?
I'm selling that big time. Plus, the song is Valerie.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was going to sell it on the technicality that it's Valerie, which I was correct. I sang that song on our video show last year when we were talking about Alex Colome. I made this very same musical joke, and one of our editors, Nate, was like, it's called Valerie. I was like, all right, sorry, dude.
That's not how he talks.
No, it's not quite.
You made him sound like he was...
Maybe when you get a Steve Winwood title... wrong. That's how he sounds.
Yeah. I also made him sound mean. He's very nice guy.
Like a grouchy 85-year-old man.
Nah, he's a cool guy. But I can do it. I mean, I can try to do it. It could be the new
Josh. I think you need to check with some people in Ann Arbor first. We've gotten the Columbus point of view.
Oh, that's why you're selling it. All right, well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll work that in throughout the show. Who'd you guys want to talk about? Who did you guys add over the weekend or drop?
Well, my biggest ad was Carlos Frias this weekend. I didn't do very much in the way of hitters. Jeff Locke is a two-start guy this week. Kyle Hendricks in one league. So I pretty much took care of my pitching. I really scanned all my leagues for buy low opportunities on Corey Kluber.
Yeah, me too.
And didn't see any I particularly that were good fits.
Right.
Different owners need to own Corey Kluber, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Like in the podcast league, I know the guy who owns Kluber, he doesn't have a need except third base, and yet he dropped Alex Rodriguez, so he must not see third base as a need,
Right.
So, how am I supposed to make him an offer? Yeah.
You make him an offer, he can't refuse.
Yeah, that's
it. Right? Yeah, you get it,
Oh, I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
Now you get it.
That's a pretty cutthroat way to play fantasy, if you ask me. But
I just had to do the Godfather thing for you.
Okay.
Scott, did you have a more eventful weekend on the waiver wire?
Actually, No.
Yeah,
I'm
it was
going
one
back
of those
and
weeks.
There were some players I was excited to pick up, but not like a guy who was widely available in all leagues. Like, I got Jake Mariznick in a league. I got Ubaldo Jimenez in a league.
Oh.
But these are guys who I feel like could have been picked up a week ago and not exactly hot names on the waiver wire. They just happen to be available in some of my leagues.
I saw you added Joe Kelly. He must have had a free roster spot. When do you drop Joe Kelly?
Potentially today. This last start. I was feeling really good after his previous start because all the strikeouts began to make sense to me when I looked at how he had changed up his arsenal by actually throwing more sliders, and that's a big big strikeout pitch. But his strikeouts alone aren't going to do it for him, and then he didn't even have strikeouts in the Sunday night start, so I'm not that excited about him really.
Okay, so I guess it was just one of those weeks where there weren't the obvious ads, but let's see what the CBSSports.com fantasy baseball users are doing. Most added player is Jake Mariznick. He's now 89% owned. Travis Wood, two starts. I don't know, man. Al, I just 75% owned for Travis Wood. I could see this being a huge mistake for fantasy owners.
I totally agree. And in the rotation roundup for this week, I put him in the deep league section.
Yeah.
I think he's got his, there are the weeks where he's got his uses. This is not one of them, even with two starts.
Well, I did do you do searches in your leagues for players to add knowing that there's like a very slim chance they're available. Josh Reddick was that guy for me this week, and Mike Fiers. Yeah. He's 81% owned. He's the third most added player, and he had a very good weekend, and a strong season continues for Reddick.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with Josh Reddick. His strikeout rate is way, way down, and it's been going on since he returned from that knee injury last year, and it doesn't seem like he's really traded off power to get that higher contact rate. So
would you guys say keep him? You don't think it's fluky? You think, like, if you could sell high for a stud outfielder who's struggling, that's one thing, but we don't have to sell Josh Reddick.
I mean, he's batting .500 in his last 11 games, so he's going to cool off at some point. I think he had, what, a 42-point week in head-to-head points leagues? And then there's also the issue of we don't know how much he's going to play against left-handed pitchers. So far, the Athletics haven't faced many, but kind of like Stephen Vogt, there's some concern eventually they're going to start playing more. So I wouldn't say I'd be opposed to selling high on him. It's just I want to stress the high angle of that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Matt Holliday or higher is what you'd have to go for, is what you'd have to sell Reddick for, is what you should be selling Reddick for if you sell him.
Okay. Would you guys rather have Josh Reddick? All right, let's put it this way, more fun. You own Josh Reddick, and the Carlos Gonzalez owner offers you cargo for your Josh Reddick. What do you click?
I click reject.
I do too.
Oh. Yeah.
That's below Matt Holliday level for me, though, if you go to my rankings.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to throw that one out there.
All right, yeah.
All right, Jesse Chavez is the fourth most added player. One good start, one bad start for Chavez, 48% owned. Al, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I like him this week. He's a two-start guy, which is probably a big reason why he's on here, especially since his last start wasn't that good. But he's throwing a little harder this season. And he wasn't a bad strikeout guy last year, and he's been a little bit better this year.
John Axford is numbers, what did I say? That's 5. Blake Swihart, 6. Cole Mentor, 7. He's two starts. AJ Pierzynski, 8. Oh, but he's two starts for Cole Mentor. One of them's at Colorado tonight, right?
Yeah, so another one I would avoid.
Yeah, AJ Pierzynski. Pierzynski or Swihart, guys?
I'll go Swihart.
I actually will go Pierzynski there. I might rank Swihart ahead of Pierzynski rest of season, but I got to ride this out with Pierzynski.
I will say that, you know, because so many people need catchers right now, that all these rookie catchers that you mentioned are going for way more than they probably should, but, you know, the market is what the market is. And understanding that, I did put a $20 bid, which I felt like was still kind of outrageous, on Swihart in 15-team mixed tout wars, and it wasn't enough.
So, because you didn't really chime in on Swihart before. I mean, are you a little more interested in picking him up in a one catcher league, let's say?
No. Not really.
You're kind of where I am.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much where you are. And the one comment I did make was I really lump him in. I agree with you. He's a better prospect than Plawecki.
Yeah.
Ariel Muto. I don't think he's that much better.
Or as for, advanced.
For a redraft league. Guys. Yeah.
Oh, you know, Mike Fultonevich is on here too. How would you guys rank Fultonevich with Colome and Frias?
Above them. Above them.
Okay.
Yeah, I just did. I tried to pick up Fulte, in one league and again, didn't bid quite enough.
I'm not sure he's quite ready for this.
No, I'm not either. I was,
did you watch
his strikeout rate was way up at AAA. The walk rate usually, as usual, it was high. But I was under the impression that a big reason the strikeout rate was up was because he was throwing a slider. He kind of discovered a slider that he was using, and it, at least according to Brooks Baseball, he didn't use the slider much at all in this first start, and the strikeouts weren't there, so I don't know.
It doesn't necessarily mean that that was a key in the minors, but for whatever reason, he could have held it back.
Right.
If you're basing it on the first start, it wasn't very reassuring or impressive, but...
not just the first start. Spring, what he did in the majors last year, the control concerns.
Okay.
There's a long list of...
Yeah. Nice, you know, no sure thing, but of the pitchers who are, you know, now entrenched in rotations, who are out there and available, he'd be my top target.
I have this theory I'm working on, guys. I wanna workshop it with you here. I've been seeing these pitchers that are throwing like super hard, and Fultonevich is, you know, pretty hard thrower. Joe Kelly, I keep forgetting the name of the Cincinnati pitcher that just got called up instead of Iglesias.
Oh, Lorenzen.
Lorenzen. Not that he's like a fireballer. I think hitters are starting to get better at hitting like 97, 98 miles per hour fastballs. And it's not like that unique of a skill anymore. So I think pitchers are going to have to be a little bit more polished. They can't just throw, you know, their 97 and get away with it.
What you say makes sense just because there are so many more pitchers who can throw that hard now, that, you know, major league hitters are getting more practice. But, I think this has been an issue for as long as I can remember that, you need more than just the velocity to succeed at that level.
All right. Well, when somebody writes some awesome article about it, just remember who had the hit click first. All right. And then just some shortstops here on the most added list. We got Brandon Crawford, Danny Echevarria, Zach Cozart, Carlos Correa, and Freddie Galvis. Any thoughts on that group there?
Just that I picked up Echevarria and Cozart a couple weeks ago when they got hot. I actually, one of the few hitter pickups I did make this weekend was to pick up Echevarria to replace Asdrubal Cabrera in a 12-team roto league, and I'm done with Cabrera for now. So I think he's. I mean, obviously he's going to cool off, but I think there could be something there with him where he is actually viable, potentially in 12-team roto, enough of a chance that he's worth a shot.
Is D. Gordon ever going to cool off or what?
It doesn't look like it.
Now, would you rather have Cozart or Echevarria?
I'd rather have Cozart.
All right, Scott, last name on here that I want to bring up, Andre Ethier, 29% owned. Maybe can help you win a week?
Yeah, I mean, he's been productive since taking over for Puig. I think he has 3 home runs during that stretch, which isn't a long period of time. I don't think there's a lot of long-term potential here. I don't know how much he's going to play against lefties, but as a short-term pickup, I like him fine.
Here are 3 players that stand out to me on the most drop list. One is Steven Sousa, who is 0-for-19, I think, with 12 strikeouts, or 0-for-17 with 12 strikeouts? 0-for-17 with 12 strikeouts in his last 5 games. Steve Pierce, who has played a couple of games at second base, and Jimmy Nelson. I don't really get that. Now he's down to 77 from 87% own. He had one bad start, but he rebounded pretty nicely yesterday. Sousa, Pierce, Nelson. Are people overreacting by dropping these 3 guys?
Yeah, all of them. And the Nelson thing I can only guess is that this is a week to week. measure, right? So his people could have picked him back up after that last start.
Yeah, that's well, he was coming off a two-start week.
Yeah.
Right, so they pick him up for the two-start week. He gets
maybe his ownership jumped to highest ever percentage. And now it's back down. Maybe it's just a reaction to that, the super streamer players out there.
That makes more sense. Yeah.
I wouldn't think Pierce is an overreaction, except, like you said, Adam, he started back-to-back games at second base this weekend. It seems like they're working him in as the everyday second baseman, at least until Jonathan Scope comes back. So if he gains eligibility at second base, that's... It's only three games away now. It's a game changer.
Do you think maybe Hardy comes back and they move Cabrera to second base? Because Hardy could be back pretty soon.
Well, Cabrera's been so bad. No.
Okay.
No, I think part of this is they want to get Pierce in the lineup and they don't feel like they can bench Deaza or Jimmy Paredes right now. So, now, he did leave Sunday's game with a minor issue.
I think he was ill.
Yeah, so that there's a chance he might be out of the lineup. Not even sure the Orioles are playing tonight, but if they are, there's a chance he's out because of that.
They are playing. They are playing at the Mets.
So that wouldn't change my opinion if he's out. I also do want to comment on Souza because the strikeouts have been ridiculously high. Like,
oh, yeah. Would you like the numbers? 39 strikeouts in 24 games.
And I also think it's okay to drop him in a three outfielder league. I mean, we get to, you know, you have to add Reddick, you have to add Mariznick. That means you have to drop somebody, and it may just be a point that those guys have pushed Souza out of the ownership picture. I don't think it's a forever thing because I still like the upside here, but you have to drop somebody, and I don't think he's going to get a lot of attention on waivers with the way he's been striking out.
I apologize for being an idiot. The Mets and the Orioles.
Forgive you.
Thank you. The Mets and Orioles begin their interleague series tomorrow night, not tonight. So Steve Pierce is off tonight.
You know, looking at the most dropped one, that this is, you know, a deeper league one, so a lot of people may not care. But Chase Anderson, I understand he's coming off of a two-start week, but, you know, did really well in the Anderson face-off last night. And, you know, where they both, went scoreless, and he went from 35% to 25%. So I could understand if he went from like 60% to 40% or something like that, where people picked him up for the two starts in some, you know, not so shallow league or not so deep leagues. But, you know, he's pretty much owned exclusively in deep leagues at this point, and I think he's a guy you hang on to just for the one start weeks in those formats.
All right.
You know who else is on this list who I was actually picking up in a couple leagues? Shin-Soo Chu. His ownership is down 9% to 51%. He went 4-for-12 with 3 doubles and a home run this weekend. So, just saying, in a 5 outfielder league, I still think Souza is more ownable to kind of put everything into context, but in a 5 outfielder league, maybe you don't give up on Chu so quickly.
We got 11 games on the schedule tonight, and we will talk DFS in a little bit with Heath Cummings. I want to remind you, though, that you need to get on FanDuel right now and sign up and use our offer code CBS, because when you use that offer code, FanDuel will match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. It's going to get earned as you play. So you can get a bonus of up to $200. Go to FanDuel, select one pitcher, catcher, second base, shortstop, first base, third base, 3 outfielders, fit it in your budget. It's pretty easy. It's pretty fun. You can do it from your phone on the app, and get addicted. Weekend standouts. Try to go through these quickly here. Corey Kluber, you guys said you're looking to buy low on him, so I assume you're not concerned about Corey Kluber?
No, I'm actually not the least bit concerned.
Tim Lincecum, 39% owned, and he has a 2.40 ERA, 8 scoreless innings against the Angels, 11 walks, 20 strikeouts, and 30 innings for Lincecum. 39% owned. Are you buying a Lincecum rebound this year?
I am. Legitimately for the first time in years. And,
wow.
And for the first time in years, I can genuinely say he's underowned at 39%. He's not a rebound to who he was, but, a different pitcher this year who I think is, you know, working with his limitations, you know, better strike thrower and ground ball. So, you know, that was the description I had for Carlos Frias. And, you know, I'm willing to give him a whirl and Frias and, some 12-team leagues even. I think Lincecum at the very least should be owned in pretty much anything deeper than 12-team mixed.
So how, would you rather have Lincecum or Tim Hudson?
I would rather have Lincecum.
Lincecum or Nate Evaldi?
I'll go Lincecum again.
Ooh. Scott?
Can't do it?
No, I mean, I'd still have those two over Lincecum, but they're all in the same range for me. I wouldn't be shocked if I saw somebody drop Evaldi for Lincecum.
Lincecum or Miguel Gonzalez? Al Melky, you're special here.
Yeah, well, I was really intrigued by the first three starts, but then the next two, he reverted back to being the old Miguel Gonzalez, which is not bad, but not as exciting as the guy who was getting lots of swings and misses and not getting so many fly balls. So, I think actually I would go Lincecum over Gonzalez now.
Scott, what'd you make of Sonny Gray's extremely weird outing yesterday at Texas? 6 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 10 strikeouts, 7 walks!
Well, I don't make much of it except that it was, in fact, extremely weird. I think he said it was clear from the beginning he didn't have his best stuff, so he was just trying to work with what he had. And to still get 10 strikeouts out of it, I think, is pretty big accomplishment. I'm not worried about an isolated high walk start like this.
My, oh my, I cannot believe it took me 31 minutes to talk about Mike Fiers!
Oh, yeah.
Mike Fiers. So here's what happened. So he had this great start. I went through the leagues. I went through every league. I typed his name in to see if he was available.
Me too.
And he wasn't. But then I was like, oh, I own him in these leagues. He's just on my bench. So
that's a good feeling.
Yeah, it was a good feeling. 12 strikeouts in 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 2 walks at the Cubs. The Cubs strike out a lot. But this was a very encouraging start for a guy who's still owned in less than 77% of leagues.
Or I know 70%. I saw him dropped in some of my leagues at some point, so I don't know if somebody picked him up right away then and I missed my chance.
I dropped him personally in one league. I think I owned him in like 4 out of 6.
Yeah.
But what do you think? I mean,
this is the Mike Fiers we were hoping to see coming in. I tried to dig for an explanation for the sudden change. Couldn't find really much of anything. So I think all the story they were giving was, he just renewed confidence, I guess.
Throwing strikes, attacking.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, that's a lot of things. That's one of those things we like to poo-poo because we can't quantify it. But, and it's a lot of times it's just an excuse a player can make that has no legitimacy to it. But, I mean, confidence is something that really does exist, and it can make a difference. And I think particularly for him, the story how he fell into that tailspin the first time was he started to have some struggles, so he started changing things. And this time he stuck with the plan and came around. So I'm feeling good about this, I guess, is the takeaway.
He pitched so well that he helped the Brewers win their first series of the year and fire their manager immediately after.
The manager who stood by him.
Yeah.
Through all the struggles.
All right, so he's owned, as of last night in 66% of leagues. How many leagues should Mike Fiers be owned in? What percent do you think would sound right to you?
75.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you think higher.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, 95.
Wow.
There's no league where I couldn't find somebody to drop Mike Fiers for if he was available.
What if you owned a league where you only had one guy on your team and his name was Jared Weaver? Would you drop him for Mike Fiers?
It's a weird format. I would definitely do that though.
Yeah, I think you've fallen asleep in that league if that's your only player.
I mean, Jared Weaver is like a lost cause right now. He's throwing 84 miles per hour. It's bad.
Yeah. No, I was, last time I think he pitched, I was saying you gotta hold on to him still, but I'm pretty much over it. He had that decent 2-game stretch and then has just been giving up tons of home runs since then. And, like you said, the velocities, which wasn't high to begin with, is way down. So, yep.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Cut him loose.
I hope it's not like the end of his career. I mean, not that he's gonna retire, but I hope he doesn't just stink for the rest of his career. That'd
like
be a shame.
Tim Lincecum?
Yeah, exactly. Until he reinvents himself as a ground ball pitcher who throws 75 miles per hour in 3 years. Any other standouts that you guys wanted to mention? You know, no,
those were them.
All right, then let's just go through it here.
A zillion others.
Yeah, here we go. Here are some guys who went on homer binges over the last week or so. Trevor Plouffe. Surprised he wasn't on the most added list. He's 46% own. He's homered 3 times in his last 5 games.
First career Grand Slam, I believe.
Oh, cool.
On Sunday, yeah.
What do you think about Plouffe right now?
Nothing differently than I thought before. And at 46%, I actually think he's appropriately owned, maybe just slightly under-owned. But, you know, he kind of fits right into that tier. I don't know what you call it, maybe fourth tier of third baseman that, you know, could be good for a while in 12-team mixed leagues, but you could also replace them really easily. So, I'm not going after him.
Plouffe or A-Rod?
I think I'll go Plouffe.
Wow.
Over A-Rod?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No, I'd definitely go A-Rod. Like I said earlier, I was shocked to see him dropped in the podcast league. I used number one waiver priority to get him, even though I already have 2 third basemen, just because he's A-Rod and he's off to this incredible start.
If you had to pay a $6 million marketing bonus to one player, would it be Plouffe or A-Rod? No. Plouffe or Solarte?
Plouffe.
Yeah, Plouffe again.
Okay. Jason Kipnis, last 5 games, 9-for-21 with 3 homers. He had a monster weekend, and he's streaky, so this is good, Jason Kipnis.
Yeah, Jason Kipnis with some power, and I really was, in fact, I think I dropped him pretty deep into my second base rankings because I really had given up on him as a guy who was going to, you know, maybe hit 15 home runs. Not, you know, this weekend doesn't change that for me, but it's definitely got my attention.
Evan Gattis, Stephen Vogt, Charlie Blackmon, Nolan Arenado, Kyle Blanks, 5% owned, Jock Peterson, Ryan Braun, Nelson Cruz, Josh Reddick. These guys stood out this weekend. Anything to say about these gentlemen?
Charlie Blackmon stood out to me because that was at San Diego.
Yeah. No, I was,
all those home runs.
I was looking up his home away splits right now because he was so bad on the road last year. He was unstartable, basically. This year, 328 with 4 of his 5 home runs on the road.
Yeah, so they might have to rewrite the book on Charlie Blackmon. And it's not as extreme as you might think because Petco is a pretty decent power park for left-handed hitters. But still, he's just not been good anywhere other than Coors up until now. So it's definitely worth paying some attention to and probably starting him more often than you would otherwise.
And, I do think it's worth stressing just how much Evan Gattis has turned things around. I mean, apart from just the 2-homer game, he's been the power hitter we all expected him to be coming in here recently. Looking up the numbers now, 355, 5 home runs in his last 9 games, and only 4 strikeouts during that stretch, so he's cut down on those a good bit. 16 RBI. Yeah, he's one of that top class of catchers that actually does have value in head-to-head points leagues. But I do want to mention Kyle Blanks, who's only 5% owned. He's started 3 straight games, I think, since Mitch Moreland went on the DL. 2 against lefties and 1 against a righty. Don't know if the righty thing's going to be consistent, but if it is, I feel like Kyle Blanks is one of those players who has continually gotten passed over for no good reason. A guy with really high OPS potential in terms of if he gets on base, he hits for power. So, I just think it's something worth monitoring. I'm not moving to pick him up yet, but if he keeps playing every day, it could be a big deal.
Here's a category called That's More Like It. Or That's More Like It. There's so many ways you could say it, but the point is, you know, That's More Like It. Julio Teheran, John Lester, and Gio Gonzalez all had nice starts. Gio, the best start, 7 innings scoreless at the Mets with 9 strikeouts. Teheran and Lester. So do you guys think they're all must start this week? Teheran, Lester, and Gio?
I would say yes to Teheran and Lester. I wouldn't say Gio's must start, but he is startable. But if you've got a nice batch of 2 star pitchers that you want to get in there, Gio would be a candidate to sit.
I want to be like really happy that Teheran is back, but he was so bad before this start. I did watch this start though, and he was great. I mean, he really looked excellent. I don't know. Where are you on him, Scott, Teron?
I feel pretty good about it because there does seem to be some actual changes he made. He emphasized his fastball a lot more, closer to what he did last season. And I think he was throwing 94 with it during the last inning he was in. And that's when he got the majority of his strikeouts. He was just got a bunch of swings and misses there toward the end. So I'm kind of with you in that I don't know that he'd be 100% automatic for me, but not far off. Kind of like what Al was saying with Gio. I'd be willing to bench Teron if I had a bunch of two-start options to get in there. But at the same time, I'm encouraged and probably going to be starting more often than not going forward.
Before I let Heath speak, anybody worried about Cole Hamels?
I have to admit a little bit, and that's a big turnaround from, I think it was even Friday's podcast where I think I said trade Keuchel for him straight up. I think now I'm giving that one a second look because this has, you know, been a full month of general.
But it's not even his worst April, you know?
Yeah.
And there have been a couple good starts. This is kind of one of those I talked about with Fires, the confidence thing and, you know, how we can't quantify that, blah, blah, blah. I actually buy Hamels. Hamels has a similar explanation, and I buy it a little more, just that the Phillies are so bad, and the pitching staff gets no runs, that he feels like he's pressing, and he feels like, particularly looking at the walk rate, like, he doesn't feel like it's worth giving up a home run right now if the alternative is just putting a guy on base and trying to pitch around it, which you don't like to see. But
yeah, might be a good explanation. I'm not sure that it's one that lends itself to easy fixing unless he gets traded.
Which we expect him to, right?
At some point, could be 2 months from now.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I think that's it.
I think this is a great segue to Heath talking.
Heath
is talking.
Heath,
you know why it's a great segue?
Why?
Because I'm hijacking 2 minutes of the show. And Adam, this is a conversation between me and Scott and Al. This is grade the trade etiquette.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So guy puts on the trade block. He's got Holland, Rodney, and Soria.
That's you. Two relievers.
He puts those three on the trade block because he can only start two relievers.
Uh-huh.
And almost immediately gets a response back, I would like Greg Holland, please. I have a lot of starters. That sounds great. So I go to look at this person's lineup, and he's got two starters that I think are worth more than Holland and several that are not worth as much.
Okay.
So I said, you know, would you rather trade Hamels or Archer, and what would you want in addition to Holland?
Wow. Wait a second.
You're making him a pretty good offer, sounds like.
You did not say that.
And
you're lying.
There's no response for the next 24 hours.
No, he's lying. Everything, I have the email thread right here, okay?
Okay, this so is the I think real, we know who the other owner is.
This is the
There's
real
no
story.
Response for the next 24 hours.
It's such a
and
lie,
then
dude.
I can't decide, how about Solarte?
I was joking. All right,
for Greg Holland.
No, I was joking. This is what happened. He puts.
Well, now it's almost too late to make a trade. I'm stuck with him for another week because I've been messing with Adam Azer.
No, listen. Heath puts Greg Holland and his closers on the block. Pomeranz is my second closer, and I'm getting a little annoyed. So I said, I would like Greg Holland, please. I have a surplus of starting pitchers.
Sounds like that's pretty much what I said.
Yeah,
so
36 minutes later, Heath says, are Archer or Hamels available?
Okay.
He does not say anything about who else would you like or whatever.
Okay.
And I said, 1 hour and 10 minutes later, I said, well, not straight up for Holland, but yes, they are available. And okay. Then he said, which would you rather trade? And then the next morning, I didn't know. I said, I have been thinking about this and I still don't know the answer. How about Solarte for Holland? He's eligible at multiple positions! ! That was obviously a joke about really thinking you're going to take Solarte.
You should have put a smiley face or something on there so that I could have known.
But you did not offer anything else. I'm not giving you Hamels or
okay,
Archer
I put
straight
on the
up
block.
For Holland.
You're supposed to make an offer.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. I'll take a look at it today, Heath. I didn't realize we were under the gun. Leagues don't start for a while. I mean, games don't start for a while, so we have time.
Heath's a busy man. You got to get him when he's available.
I just want to give some news and notes real quick, and then we can talk DFS. Alcides Escobar's on the 7-day concussion DL. Homer Bailey's out for the year. Hunter Pence may not be ready until late May. Victor Martinez will probably not play first base this season. Chris Johnson out 3 to 6 weeks with a fractured hand. Scooter Gennett began a rehab assignment. Jake McGee will not be ready this week. Mike Minor is on the 60-day DL. He is making no progress. Lorenzo Cain is going to miss one game this week, and they're off today. That's part of his 2-game suspension. Desmond Jennings is on the DL with a knee injury. TJ House on the DL with shoulder inflammation. Chad Billingsley may start Tuesday for Philadelphia at Atlanta. Rougned Odor could get demoted. Nick Franklin began a rehab assignment. Kenley Jansen's looking at the 15th of May. Christian Yelich could be back Thursday. Henderson Alvarez about 2 weeks. Matt Latos is going to start Tuesday. He's a little banged up. Samuel Deduno is going to stay in the Astros rotation for another turn. Oswaldo Arcia left Sunday's game with a hip injury and DFS. Okay. Heath?
Yes.
Who do we like today?
Well, you know what I don't like is pretty much this entire slate. Remember last week we talked a lot about the softer hitter pricing?
Yeah.
Well, forget about that. Paul Goldschmidt is 6,100 today.
Whoa.
At Colorado?
What, they changed their... Wow.
Apparently now Coors Field matters on the pricing, which I guess is the better way to do it. But, yeah, Goldschmidt against Matzik in Colorado, 6,100. And most of the other Diamondbacks went up accordingly. So my top stack of the day, I guess, is going to have to be Blue Jays against Chase Whitley. What do you think about that?
Ooh, Chase Whitley.
I don't think he's
a great pitcher, but he can be sneakily effective.
Yeah. Sneakily effective.
Yeah.
Well, that's my favorite stack. Pitchers, Kershaw's 11-3. I'm still not, I don't think so. I like Felix at 11 better. And then the two cheaper guys, Carmart is only 8,400 against the Cubs. And Cubs, I always feel like the Cubs are, if you have a decent pitcher or a good pitcher, the Cubs are not a bad offense for tournaments to go against because their variance is so high. I mean, they could score 9 runs, but they could also strike out 12 times.
Yeah.
And then Dallas Keuchel's 8,500 against the Rangers going up against Detweiler. So he's got a pretty good shot for a win.
Why not stack against Detweiler?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
You could also stack against Detweiler with the Astros.
Yep. I have Gattis. For sure.
Gotta get Gattis.
Yeah. Gattis will be very, very highly owned. I would guess Altuve will as well.
Yep.
I think Devin Travis is a good play because like, Bautista, you know, we talk about stacking Blue Jays. Bautista is really expensive. He might be the second or third most expensive outfielder, but Travis is 3,500.
Which is still like the third or fourth most expensive second baseman, right?
Yeah, but it's a lot less, I think, than Altuve. Like, it's not that expensive. Comparatively.
Altuve's a runaway at the position, which he should be.
Yeah.
But every time he faces a lefty, particularly a bad lefty, I try to get him in because he's, as good as he is all around, he's like a 450 hitter against lefties.
Yeah, if I was going to do an Astros deck, I might just go with like a Springer, Gattis, Carter, because all three of them seem to be heating up right now. So,
oh, Heath, how do you feel about Yasmani Tomas as a third baseman for 3,000 at Colorado?
I like Yasmani. I think I talked about last week how I even like him in season-long leagues for this week because he gets to go to Colorado and then go back home, and I like him. I think that's a pretty good value. It's not quite, like I said, all the Diamondbacks saw a little bump in their pricing, so it's not quite as cheap as I would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, I mean, especially if he's going to hit fifth, right behind Goldschmidt and Trumbo. Trumbo went up to 4,100 too, I think, which is just way too much. You're going to have cheap players today for sure. Kelly Johnson's been on a bit of a heater, 2,700 against Harang.
Yeah, not bad.
Billy Butler, if you want to go cheap at first base, 2,600 against Al's favorite pitcher, Phil Hughes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I always like Andrelton, and he's back down to 2,500 for some reason against Harang. So as long as Andrelton's hitting second, I mean, that's a huge value.
I looked at the Adam Azar stats, batter versus pitcher.
Yeah.
Simmons is 0-3, I think, against Harang. So that's terrible history.
No way to play him.
a guy who has the same price that I went with over Simmons, just that I think he's more likely to homer, is Johnny Peralta, against Travis Wood. But
yeah,
I could totally see
Simmons. I don't think that's
Simmons.
A bad play at all. I've got some Adam Azar stats here if you'd like to
go
over them real quick.
It's my favorite part of the show.
I've changed my format a little bit. I'm going with the slash lines now.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
Well, you'd have to tell us how many at-bats the slash lines are in.
Yes, I have at-bats.
Okay.
A-Rod versus Dickey. 333, 333, 542, and 24 at-bats.
That's significant to me.
What's that?
That's significant. But Dickey does pretty well against the Yankees.
Ellsbury versus Dickey.
Yes.
375, 444, 438, and 16 at-bats.
And he is red hot.
Right. Cargo versus Colemanter. 333, 412, 867, and 20 at-bats.
Not for me.
Not for you. Okay.
Nah, he's too cold.
What's that?
He's cold.
It's cold.
Tulo in 20 at-bats, 300, 364, 600.
He's too expensive. I couldn't figure out a way to get him in my lineup.
Eric Young, 400, 526, 533, and 14 at-bats against Durang.
Well, that might be a way to get Tulo in my lineup.
And then my favorite one of the day.
Matt Holliday.
And probably the most significant, because it's by far the most at-bats. In 52 at-bats, 365, 386, 712 versus King Felix.
What?
Yep. Mike Trout.
Oh.
Well, if anybody's going to do that.
Trout owns Felix.
All right, let me give you Matt Holliday against Travis Wood, because this is also pretty significant. Okay, hang on. We're getting it. Here we go. Matt Holliday, 15 for 40 with four home runs. That's 375 with an OPS of almost 1,200 for Matt Holliday against Travis Wood.
That's pretty good.
I like
it. That's a good one.
Any other FanDuel tips, or are we done here? You guys, Scott or Al, anything to contribute?
Well, I'm trying to figure out, because I'm trying to do an Astros stack with Gattis, Altuve, Springer, and Mariznick. Seems like those would be the obvious four to do it with. Trying to figure out a pitcher I like with that stack.
I've got
to be a cheap one.
I've got a cheap one that's kind of under the radar here. Clay Buchholz. It's a gamble, but he's very, very good against Tampa Bay. And the last time he faced them, he struck out 10 Rays. And he'll strike out Souza probably six times by himself. But I started with Buchholz, and then I upgraded $400 to Tyson Ross, who's pretty cheap, actually, given today's slate.
I will say, as Drubal and DeJesus, both have really good history against Buchholz.
All right, but Buchholz has been really good against the Rays.
That could have been back when they actually hit, though.
But back when they actually hit was back when he was good.
But even when he's been bad, he's been good against the Rays.
I think my favorite cheap pitcher, I assume, is the guy that Scott's going to settle on.
Dallas Keuchel?
No.
Oh.
Cheaper.
Alex Wood. Yeah, I looked
against
at him.
Against a lefty-heavy Phillies lineup?
Yeah, and the strikeouts were better last time.
Yeah, going to buy in.
That's a good idea.
Well, except Dallas Keuchel's only 800 more, and he's going against Texas.
Yeah.
I need to look at this, but I'm
going to guess that Texas has been quite a bit significantly better against left-handed pitching than the Phillies have.
Probably, but Dallas Keuchel's been significantly better than Alex Wood.
But we know that Keuchel has regression coming. He's striking out five batters per night.
Well, I don't know that I'm ready for it to happen today.
Yeah, it might not all happen.
It might not all happen at once.
Hey, let me read some emails. Okay. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Email from David. In a 10-team, 6x5 head-to-head category league, I was offered Mookie Betts and Colin McHugh for Cespedes. It's a keeper league. Would you do it? And McHugh's $3 and Betts is $1 next year. So you give up Cespedes for Betts and McHugh.
Yeah, keeper league. Okay. It's just a yes or no, not a grade.
No, that's a slam dunk for those keeper prices. I mean, even all things being equal, even without the keeper prices, I'd do that deal. It bets straight up for Cespedes.
All right.
And you have McHugh too. Jeez.
Okay. Justin from Michigan.
By the way, that whole Keuchel and DFS with an Astro stack is a moot point because you can't do an Astro stack with Keuchel as your starting pitcher because he would be a fifth Astro. But anyway.
Justin from Michigan. I got offered this over the weekend. Adam, I want your opinion also. Thank you, Justin. Thank you for caring. 12-team head-to-head league. Categories. Give up Tulowitzki for Keuchel and Longoria. I already have Ian Desmond. I do not like it, Justin.
I hate it.
No, I don't like it.
Because I think I don't like Longoria. I just kind of
you hate Longoria.
Kind of do hate him. I think he's
yeah. By the way, on Friday when you were trashing him, he ended up having a pretty good night.
Why did you DFS him?
Yeah, we were talking. He had one of the double specials.
He did not have that good of a night. He was like 2 for 4 with an RBI double or something.
I think he had a walk in there as well. I think he scored 4 or 5 points.
Which is fine, but he's expensive.
That's a good night.
He's expensive.
He's not expensive.
Who?
Longo?
Oh, no, he's not expensive. He was 31 on Friday. I don't know what he is right now.
I guess he's not expensive for a third baseman. All right, fine.
He's not expensive for any. What position is 31? Catcher, I guess.
He's 31 still.
Yeah, you're right.
I think this would be a fair offer for Desmond, but not for Tulo.
Yeah, I sort of felt that way.
Yeah.
All right, from Tim Schoen from Sammamish, Washington. There's no way I said that right. Says, hello, Jack, Robert, and Marla. Someone just dropped Ryan Zimmerman in my 10-team head-to-head category league. Would you drop Josh Harrison for Ryan Zimmerman?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Kyle in San Diego, who would you rather have rest of season, Russell Martin or Devin Mesoraco?
Mesoraco.
Is Mesoraco ever actually going to get healthy or go on the disabled list?
I like to think, yeah, one or the other.
Okay. And assuming that he is going to do one or the other, then I will take Mesoraco.
And last question is from Daniel in McKinney, Texas. Dear Winston, Mariota, and Grayson. We all know those.
Yeah. No.
Come on, Scott. Those are 3 quarterbacks who just got drafted.
They were the first 3, right? I thought you were kidding.
Yeah, I think Grayson was the 3rd one.
All right.
To the Saints?
Yeah.
I get it now. Okay.
Can you rate
now that you told me what it is?
Did you know Jameis, Jack, you would have known.
Did you know Jack, Robert, and Marla?
No, I don't. In fact, I'm Googling it now. Who is it?
That's Fight Club.
Ah.
I thought maybe they were defensive backs who were drafted.
Daniel's question is, rate these starting pitchers. Estrada, Foltynewicz, Kalami, Frias, Whitley, and Lorenzen.
Isn't that more of a request than a question?
Yeah.
When they say rank these or
well,
a command.
It said,
even.
Can
it's
rate
a command,
these.
I believe. All right. Yikes. I'll go Fulte, Frias. This is.
Kalami.
Fulte, Frias, Kalame, Whitley, Lorenzen, Estrada. There you go.
Any disagreements? I know Scott likes Colomay better than Frias.
Prius.
Do you like Colomay?
I put him second behind Fulte.
You like Fulte best too, Heath?
Yeah.
I'm not even looking at a laptop. I'm gonna defer to these guys. Right. On this one,
Heath. Thank you for coming on, but you did lie about what happened in our email exchange.
There's different versions of the events, but really I think,
mine's the accurate one. I read straight from the emails.
Well, that's what you say. That's what you say. I mean,
different versions of that event.
So I think the important part here is that we went from talking about, which Scott agrees that I'm being more than fair.
In what? In trying to take Chris Archer for Greg Holland?
Yeah, I think that's a fair deal.
In a 2 closer league with RPs?
I'm not saying I'd take it if I were you, Adam. I'm just saying it's fair.
All right, how about I give you...
Let's get this deal done right now.
I'll give you Bauer and Burnett for Holland.
So you want Rodney and not Holland?
No, I want Holland.
Oh, then I think you should offer an appropriate price.
Salazar and Burnett.
No.
Well, I'm not paying for a premium closer.
I think that's maybe the distinction you should have made before you said I'd like Holland, please.
Well, you
I'd like
you
a
want
premium closer. I don't
want
to pay
you.
You
want
for
an ace. Like in a roto league, I'd consider it, but... You are overvaluing Greg Holland.
I'm willing to sweeten the deal.
All right, then we'll talk about
significantly
someone else from your side.
We can give something else from my side.
All right, okay, good. We'll continue this discussion offline, and we'll let everyone know. Are you on the show tomorrow? You're the Tuesday guy.
I am the Tuesday guy, so we will discuss this in length.
You're finally getting some acknowledgement for being the Tuesday guy.
Yes, he'll forget by tomorrow morning. Heath, what are you doing?
Oh, it's Heath Day.
Okay, goodbye, everyone.
I had a show all set up for Towers.